Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. John chapter 2, verse 5. I just want to read one verse here. His mother, Jesus, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Holy Spirit, cause me to say what Father wants to say today, and help me to say it in a way where we can understand it. Thank you for that. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're my best friend. Hallelujah. We know the story here. As a matter of fact, I talked about it a few weeks ago. It's when Jesus turned the water into wine, and we talked about God wanting to give you some new wine. And if you weren't here, you might want to get that CD because I think it'll bless you. But anyway, this story here, Jesus, you know, and it's towards the end of the wedding, and they run out of wine, and so Jesus' mother tells Jesus, she says, "These guys are out of wine," and Jesus says, "Well, Mother, what are you telling me for? My time's not here yet." Mary didn't even bat an eye. She didn't even listen to him. Like some of us don't listen to the Lord. She didn't even listen to him. She just looked over at the servants and says, "Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it." I thought about that because, you know, we always say this is the first miracle that Jesus did, turning the water into wine. Well, I don't believe that was the first miracle. I believe that was the first public miracle. Because Mama must have been seeing something through the years. She must have been seeing something in her son. She must have been seeing him do things when nothing else could be done. She must have been seeing him change mountains, move mountains, and do things. She must have been seeing some pretty spectacular things because she didn't even bat an eye. She said, and I thought that was pretty neat because Jesus didn't even know it was time for him to start, but Mama got him started anyway. So anyway, but she had seen enough and she knew enough. She had faith in what Jesus could do. She had faith in his faith. And she said, "Whatever he says to do, you do it." Now, I could go a lot of ways with this today, but let me just say something. I see people all the time that their lives are confused and messed up and things going on in life. I was going to say hundreds, it's probably not that many, but I get a lot of calls every week, people wanting me to pray with them and pray for them, and they're just in a mess, and their lives are messed up. I want to just say something. Life really isn't that difficult if you'll just live for Jesus. Huh? Now, don't get too excited there, but life isn't that difficult. Your problems, the things going on in your life, they're not that difficult. I know they seem that way, and I know they seem like mountains, and the devil has designed it for them to be that way to you and to seem that way to you. But you know, the bottom line is somewhere, we got to have some people, God's got to have some people that are just going to live for Him anyway. Just going to live for him. When Pam and I got married, the 3rd of January would be 43 years. We got, clap for her. She's the one that's had the hardest deal here. But we, when we got married, We made a commitment to live with each other for the rest of our lives. Somebody said, did y'all ever think about divorce? I said, no, but we wanted to kill each other a few times. But my point is this. We didn't get married and say, okay, we're going to get married, but, you know, we're going to kind of try it out. We're going to see if it works. We're going to, you know. No, we entered it with a commitment. With a commitment. And can I tell you, in 43 years, it hadn't always been smooth sailing. I mean, she's hard to live with. How many kind of suspect maybe it's the other way around? And there's been a lot of hard times and a lot of hard knocks, and we can sit and we can talk about all that stuff we want to, but you know what? That wasn't, that we made a commitment. You know, and if we live to be 100 years old, which we probably will, I know some of you are going to die 70, but we're going to live to be 100. And we probably will, we're going to still be together. Because our commitment isn't based on anything that happens or anything around us. No, we gave our heart to each other. And you know, that's what the Lord wants. Huh? I thank God. Can let's just give ourselves a hand? Because you're living for God. God just wants somebody to live for Him. I love what Shambach said. I said it last week, but I love what Shambach always said. He said, you don't have any problems. You just need faith in God. And you know the truth is, hey, I know things get hard and things get complicated, but if you just got your mind made up to live for God, it's going to all be okay. Huh? It's going to all work out. And He's going to take everything the devil does to you and around you and all. He's going to take it all and make you stronger with it. He's not making it happen. But He's going to take everything the devil tries to do in your life and make you stronger and make you tougher. Because why? Because you got your mind made up. I just wonder why. Why is it so hard for us to just surrender? Now I said us, because I'm talking to all of us today, me too. Why is it so hard? Why, when God tells me to do something, do I have to think about it? Do I have to reason it out? Do I have to call a meeting and say, whoa, God, show me if it's really You? Why, you know, if He says something, why don't we just do it? Now, I appreciate your enthusiasm. I'm not going to get on you today, huh? You know, but let me ask you something. Our lives can get so confused, but young people get this, because you're going to have all kinds, you're going to have more temptations than I had, and maybe I had a lot of them. But just make your mind up now. No, I'm living for God. I don't care what my college professor says. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm just going to live for God anyway. Because that's what the world needs. It doesn't need to see more protests. It needs to see some of us standing up saying, I live for God. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Well, and we hadn't ought to just say it inside of here. We ought to say it out in the marketplace. Huh? I mean, y'all just get right in the middle of Walmart and scream it. Huh? I said that one time, and a lady did it. And well, they told her she couldn't come to Walmart's no more. But you get the message. You got what I'm saying. Let me ask you something. Are you sold out to God? Don't answer it. Just answer it to yourself. Are you sold out for God? Whatever He told you to do right now, would you do it? Yes, if it's not too hard. Yes, I will if it doesn't demand too much of me. What is it that stops us? Jesus said it's a narrow gate, and not very many of you will go through it, but if you go through it, it leads to life. See, he's not interested in taking from you and getting from you. He's just interested in you and having you. And so he likes to take everything off. We talked about that eye of the needle a few weeks ago. He likes to take everything off of you and get you down and crawl you through that eye. And then he likes to give it back to you. Only when he gives you everything back, he gives it back to you in the right order. You have it and it doesn't have you. But I just wonder, are you where you're supposed to be with God? I mean, you know, now the thought comes to most of us, no, I'm not, but I want to be. And I tell you what stemmed this. I talked to somebody last week, and they'd heard the message last week, and he said, "Man, I heard the message, and thank you, brother. It really helped me. And I just know I've got to do more, and I just know I need to be doing more for the Lord, and I just know." And how many know you ought to be doing more for the Lord? Well, then let me ask you something. Why aren't you doing it? Well, it's something about it. What stops us from doing it? It's something in our thought process. You know, somebody listening to me now, you've been all in before, and you got burnt, and you pulled out. You still want to be all in, but you remember what happened the last time you went all in. And you say, "Man, I don't want that again." You know, the world's full of people that have been in church and they've been active and they've been doing things for God, and something happened and they got knocked out. I used to hear this phrase a lot, "I got burnt out." Can I tell you something? If you're tuned in to the right way and you're thinking the right way, you can't get burned out. Huh? You don't ever get burned out. The fire just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And your smile gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the joy of the Lord inside of you gets more and more and more. Maybe we're not plugged in right. You know, but the truth is, Jesus said, he told a story one time. He said, "Hey," he said, "now if you got ears to hear this." But he said, "If you hear what I say and do it, you'll be like a house that's built on a rock. And when the storms come, your house will stand." He said, "But now if you hear these things that I say and you don't do them, then the storm's going to be bad, because they're going to blow your house away." Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about our life. Life's got stuff. It's going to shake us. We're going to have these earth-shaking things. As long as there's a devil, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. But how do I get to where they don't shake me? And how do I get to where my mind's made up? How do I, you know, I mean, it's easy for, I can stand up here and preach about being all in. I love that word. I love to say all in. I mean, I watch some of that poker on TV. I just do it so when I can hear somebody say, "All in." Now don't you go play, man. That's ruin more people. That's not what I'm saying, okay? I just like that attitude. All in. I don't know, maybe God just liked to hear a bunch of us say all in. And it's easy for me to get up here and preach a message like this and say, "I'm all in," and I can stay all in for 3 or 4 days because I preached it. Huh? Well, I'm just saying that your house can be solid. Your life can be solid. Oh, it doesn't mean everything, doesn't mean storms won't come. Jesus said when the storms come. But your house won't be shaken. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." In other words, if you really love me, you'll do what I say. Huh? If you really love me, you'll hear what I say and you'll try to do it. You'll try to be like me. If you really love me, the things that I do, you'll do too. If you really love me, you got some exciting things getting ready to happen in your life. He said, "If you love me, you'll do what I say, and I will manifest myself to you." Whew. How many think if old Jesus starts manifesting himself in your life, things getting better around your house? Huh? He said, man, he said, if you'll love me and you'll keep my words, he says, me and daddy will come make our home in you. See, that's what some of you were feeling a while ago when we were getting goosebumps in the music and worshiping God. You were, man, they were just making their home in you. Well, I just wonder. See, I think when the pressure, what pressure comes on us is whenever I'm doing stuff because I think I have to do it. This I picked up in the spirit of this person I was talking to that I'm just not living like I should be. I'm not close to where I am. But you know what? That a sin mentality will make us stay there. It'll make us stay in that spot. But can I tell you, we're not under the old covenant anymore. We're under the new covenant. Now, I talk about this some. And I'm not going to, if you're an expert on this and grading me, you'll probably find plenty of things you can fault me with. But I'm talking about our attitude. Because you want to be close to God or you wouldn't be here today. You want to serve Him or you wouldn't be here today. You want to be all you can be for Him or you wouldn't be here. And if you're here today and you're not saved, that's the reason you came, because something in you wants God. And He's in all of us. It's in all of us. I got to thinking about that. How many ever heard or you heard somebody say or you said, we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace? Huh? Only me and Trish is the only one seen that. How many ever heard that? Well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. What does that mean? Well, first off, let me explain what a dispensation is. Now we are in a time of grace. We're in the age of grace. A dispensation, how many of you ever heard that was a different dispensation? A dispensation is a divinely appointed order for that period of time or age. Or it is a system of revealed commands and promises regulating human behavior. Now, what we need to understand is the law was given at a different dispensation. When Jesus came, we're now in the grace age. We're in the church age or the grace age. And so when we talk about the law versus the grace, what we're talking about is the Mosaic covenant and the new covenant or the covenant of grace. You understand what a covenant is? A covenant is a stronger agreement than a contractual agreement. In fact, the Bible says when God made a covenant with us, with man, He said He could swear by no, there was nobody higher, there was nothing higher than Him, so He swore by Himself. So what I want you to understand is that's what God meant in Isaiah 55. He said, if I said it, it'll work. If I said it, it'll come to pass. That's kind of like old Mary was. She said, whatever He says will happen. Whatever He says, do it. And you'll be happy with the results. Okay? So let me just real quick talk about this. Because if we're trying to live in one age under a different dispensation, then the same rules don't work. The Bible says, okay, the law, if you hear somebody refer to the law, they're talking about the Mosaic covenant, when Moses got the commandment from God. The grace is the new covenant, which God said He'd do. Now there's always two things in common with every covenant. You have a benefactor and you have a beneficiary. The benefactor in this is God. The beneficiary are the people of God. Now, the results of the covenant, or the benefits, are the blessings of God. I'm trying to make this just as simple as I can because I want you to understand. What we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out, how is my thinking holding me back? How is my thinking holding me in bondage? Now, history tells us, you know, there was a covenant with Adam. That was the first covenant, and it was very simple. God said, I will make you, I will bless you. He said, everything I've made belongs to you. You take authority, you have dominion over it. It's all yours. Everything here is yours. I made it just for you. Your part, all your part is just don't eat that tree. I'll give you everything here. All this is it, but your part is just don't eat the tree. Well, we know how that story ended up, don't we? Don't we? Stay with me real quick here. Okay, so now there were different covenants, but we're just talking about there was a covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant was unconditional. God took all the responsibility. Abraham just had to respond to him in faith. But the thing about this covenant was you had to be in Abraham's bloodline to receive the benefits. Now the Bible says later that if we've received Christ, then we are partakers of Abraham's covenant and we're heirs of the promise. Okay? So, but there was different. There was a covenant with Moses. There was a covenant with David. But right now, we're just talking about the law versus the grace. The Mosaic covenant, the law, when Moses came down off the mountain, had the stones in his hand. We know the Ten Commandments. When he came down with those things, the Mosaic law, this covenant, was where you had to do your part in order for God to do His part. Are you with me? You had to keep the law in order for God to give you the blessing. This was a conditional covenant. Are you with me? If you do, I will do. Okay, that's not too hard to understand. So what this amounted to is how much I'm able to bless you depends on your performance. Are you with me? Now the only problem with that was that none of them could keep the covenant, so he at the same time instituted a sacrifice, a pattern of offering sacrifices, and you could offer sacrifices and they would cover your sins for a year. Okay? But it didn't take the people long to figure out they weren't good enough. That's what the law did. The law made people realize, I'm not good enough. Okay, so then what about now this dispensation? Now this age of grace, there's a new dispensation. It's called the covenant of grace. This is an unconditional covenant between God and those who love God. Now keep these in mind. The law was conditional. You do, and I'll do. But the covenant of grace is different. The covenant of grace is, now I'm going to do this for you. Under this covenant of grace, under this new covenant, it doesn't depend on your faithfulness, it depends on His faithfulness. under this covenant, you have to have faith in his faith. You understand? It's not anymore that you're not good enough. No, you have to have faith in what Jesus did, and you receive the goodness that Jesus gave to us. I say it all the time. I just changed all my bad for all his good. Unconditional covenant. Let me say it again. We're living in an age now. The dispensation of grace now is, it doesn't depend on my faithfulness, it depends on his faithfulness. It's not dependent on what I do, it's dependent on what he did. Now you got to get this, because it'll take you out, it'll set you free, it'll get you out from under bondage. Under the old covenant, if we were under the old covenant, we would think things like, I'm just not good enough. I'm just not doing enough. Corey, I just don't line up. I'm just not. But under the new covenant, it's unconditional. It's not my faithfulness, it's his faithfulness. Under the new covenant, I might feel that way, but I need to get rid of that sin consciousness, because he has made me the righteousness of God. I'm right because of you, Jesus. So when I get ready to get up here and I go, oh God, I don't deserve to stand up before all these good people. I don't deserve to, man, who am I to do this? He says, shut up! You're who I made you. Now think about what holds me. Doesn't the Bible say it's impossible to please him without faith? Why? Well, because you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's that saying? My faith's in him. My faith's in his faith. Yeah, I can't handle you, devil, but he already handled you. Yeah, I can't heal myself, but he already healed me. Yeah, I know, I can't think of enough ways to get more money and more wealth, but he already provided that. All I need to do is pay attention and listen to what he says. Let me just read you real quick the New Covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, start with 6, says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, as has been talking about the earthly priest. But Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according, now don't let that throw you. Don't push that off for somebody else's covenant, because he didn't make a covenant with you. He made a covenant with Jesus. But when I put Jesus on, when I get in Jesus, now I have a covenant with him. It makes sense? I always read this stuff and I just, yeah, but that doesn't mean me. Yes, that means you. Do you have Jesus in your heart? That means you. Okay? It says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, now, that was then, but the time's coming here. When Jesus came, that's when the new covenant came. He was the sacrifice, the last sacrifice for the new covenant. Is that pretty elementary? It says, for this covenant is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none of his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant, he made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete is growing old and ready to vanish away. Now, just think about this for a minute. What God's saying is, he's saying there's going to be a new way of operation. He isn't saying that he changed his mind about any of the law. He isn't saying that he changed his mind. He just made that covenant with his people. He put that covenant into motion so that everybody would realize there's no way I can live up. There's no way I can do it. I need help. God, I need your help. And he said, okay, for a few thousand years here, sacrifice sheep and cows and turtle doves and all that. But he said, there's going to be a new way of doing things. I'm going to make a new covenant. Now get it. I'm going to operate in a different way. No longer is it, if you do, he will do. Now he says, I did it. Do you want to be part of it? Is anybody getting this? I'm trying to make this, maybe I'm trying to make it too simple. Listen, under the old covenant, man was the root. You had to produce the fruit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Under the new covenant, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're going to have any fruit on you, it's going to be because you stayed connected to the vine. You get it? Under the old covenant, we were the root because we had to produce the fruit so God could see the fruit and then he would bless. I do, so he'll do. But God says, no, that's not the way it's going to be. I'm going to do. And he did. He says, now do you want to be part? That's why 2 Corinthians, I believe, says the letter of the law kills. But the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, brings life. The Spirit of God will bring life into you. See, if you're under the mentality, I'm not good enough. I have to go to church. I have to pay my tithes. I have to witness to 13 people today. I have to read my Bible today. I have to do this. I have to. How many know all those things are important, but God doesn't want you to do them because you have to. He wants you to do them because he's done new work inside of your heart. He's made that part that was dead come alive again. And now you don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to. Now, he's not trying to get you to do more. We like to use these preachers, we like to use these sermons to crack that old whip and get you to line up and get you to straighten up and do more, because if you'll do more, we'll grow. And if you do more, but man, that's all built on the sand. If we want to be built on the rock, then I need to teach you how to be closer to God. I need to tell you things that build you up, that edify you, that make you want more of God. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. How does sin have dominion over you? See, I've always read that, and we always think, well, but I've been sinning, I've been doing this, and I know. How does sin have dominion over you? It's your consciousness. It keeps telling you you're no good. It keeps telling you you don't deserve it. It keeps telling you. That's why some people, no matter what they do, they never think they're right with God. Because, I mean, how much is enough? If you do everything you can do, then I promise you the devil will still tell you, yeah, but you didn't do enough. You understand what grace does? Grace makes me relax in the Lord and say, whew, God, it's not up to me, it's up to you. Now show me what to do. Help me do it. We made those pledges a while ago. Make those pledges. Now, God, I said this, but I make the choice, but now how do I do it? How do I do it? I need you to help me. So how does sin have dominion over you? If you get saved and keep your sin consciousness, it'll have dominion over you. It'll boss you around. It'll make you feel unworthy. It'll stop you from the fruit producing in your life that the Holy Spirit's trying to produce. It'll stop you from being all God wants you to be. Well, I had some more scriptures here, but back in chapter 7 of Hebrews, it says, verse 18 says, for on one hand there is an annulling of a former contract because a commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. The other thinking doesn't get me anything. It's unprofitable. It doesn't help me any. But this new thing brings a new hope. It brings a new confident expectation. I'm confidently expecting the things God's going to do in my life. The Amplified says, for on one hand, a former commandment is canceled because of its weakness and uselessness, because of the inability of to justify the sinner before God. For the law never made anything perfect. While on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, a better confident expectation is there, through which we now continually draw near to God. Do you understand what this is all about? This is all about Hank getting closer to God. This isn't about me going to the altar and making a confession and then getting up and going out here and living like I just did. It's a matter of me coming here, giving my life, and beginning at that point to develop a relationship with my Father, with my Lord. Does that make sense? And as that happens, I'm walking, and as that happens, things happen in my life, and this relationship just gets better and better and better, and I just get closer and closer and closer. Listen, if somebody's telling you things you need to do to straighten up, that's not pulling you closer to God. That's pushing you further away. And there's thousands of folks, some of them listening to me right now, that you've been pushed away that way because you got burnt out, you just got turned off, and you're afraid to commit again because you don't want to have to go through that process again because it was too painful. I have a suggestion for you. Why don't you commit it to God this time? And why don't you sell out? He'll show you. And what He shows you to do, then He'll help you do it. I love that. It's not willpower. It's God power. I make a choice, and then I say, God, I don't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. If I knew how to do it, I'm not sure I would because I don't want to, but I'm choosing to do it. I want to do everything you want me to do. I want to live for you. I want everything you got for me, God. I choose that. Now, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I just said. And that's when He begins to lead you and guide you into the truth. Well, then I don't have to be part of a church. That's not what I'm saying. Huh? And I'm not here trying to get you to do more, but I'm telling you, you will do more. Why? Well, because then you want to, not because you had to. Man, don't come tell me I have to do stuff. I mean, I might go ahead and do it for a little bit, but something's going to bristle up, and before long, we're going to have a problem. Houston, we got a problem. And you're the same way. Huh? So what we've learned to do is we just learn like we're doing it. We act like we're doing it when we're around each other and we smile and everything. But nothing changes. We're not any different. And we come in here and smile and dedicate our babies. And we go out to the car and yell and cuss and scream at each other. Whew, that's putting pressure on them families, isn't it? Well, I want you to understand this. See, under the old covenant, you bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and I will open up the windows of heaven. You with me? Under the new covenant, he says, I've already opened up the windows of heaven. Huh? Now, will you come and bring those tithes and offerings in because you love me and you know that I love you? Will you do what you do now out of gratitude for what I've done for you? That makes sense? Man, I won't ever be able to preach for an offering the same way again. You know that? But I got to thinking about this, Kenny. Do you know? Now, I know that, hey, I'm not, this is going to be misunderstood because I don't have time. I got to cut it off here. I'm not saying, Genesis said seed time and harvest will always be. You plant seeds and seeds will grow. I'm talking about motivation now. And I don't know that it ever worked for me when I said, God, I'm giving this to you so you'll give it to me. Be honest. But I'm a giver. And I don't give to him now. That way I give to him now going, man, you've given me so much, God, I just want to keep giving. I just want to do more. I want to give more of myself. I want to give more of my money. I want to give more of everything else. Does that make sense? See, under the old covenant, your righteousness was as filthy rags, and you can never deserve it. You can never deserve what God has for you. But under the new covenant, he has made you the righteousness of God. You didn't make yourself that way. He made you. It's a done deal. So when you start thinking, well, I'm just not worth it. I'm just not worthy. I'm just not. You're lying. You're saying that Jesus wasn't enough. That's hard. That's hard to go. Okay, no, I am right with God. We think that's blasphemy. Huh? I'm right with God. I can be just like Jesus. I can. That's what grace will produce in your life. Well, I didn't get a chance to do this. But my point is, Jesus went to the cross for me, so I'm willing to pick up my cross and follow him. That make sense? Huh? Anyway, so what he's saying now is he's saying the table spread. Remember the parable? Of the marriage supper or the great supper, and he said, go out and tell everybody, all things are now ready, come and dine. What did he tell the 12 when he sent them out? He said, you go out and you tell them about the kingdom. You tell them the kingdom is just about here. You heal their sick. You raise their dead. You cast out the devils. He says, freely you have received, so freely give. Well, I hate it that I have chopped this off here, but are you understanding what I'm saying? The difference in time. Now I do things because I love the Lord. Now I serve him because I love him. Yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, the things that I do are important, but my motivation is different. And so let me ask you again, what What is it that you're holding back? What's holding you back? If you can turn loose of that today. You see, the things we do in life are important. And we're the only ones God has to use. The only one He has to work through. So let me read you something. I want you to know and to be able to commit everything about you to the Lord and not be afraid to trust Him. Because when we get to that place, then He's able to do greater things than He did through us. Let me read you some. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in his body, whether good or evil." I planned on spending a little bit of time on that, but I won't. But do you realize that when that time comes, the only thing that's going to count, the only thing that's going to make any difference is what you've committed to God? I mean, you know, you got a nice house, you've built a nice business, you've done this, you know. But do you realize when that happens, nothing else is going to make any difference except what you have done for the kingdom? That's what he's saying over and over and over here. That's the only thing that's going to count. So I want to be able to do those things and know that I can trust him. Know that you know, if we used to say, if you do it to the Lord. I want to know that my treasure is in heaven. I want to know that. And I don't know, I just thought I got to seeing and I was gonna do the great white throne judgment too there, but maybe another time. You realize this judgment seat is for Christians? In other words, what he's saying there is he's saying that the time's going to come that we're going to all stand before God. And the only thing, Hank, that's going to matter is what you did. He told some guys once, he said, that some guys came to him and said, "Man, we've cast out devils in your name. We've done great and mighty things in your name." And he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or if you read that and study that, he says, "Depart from me, you people of lawlessness." In other words, you did good things, but they weren't the things that I told you to do. You understand what God's after? He's after a relationship with me, that I can walk with him, and I can talk with him. He can use me. He can tell me things to do. And do you know, if he tells me to come and give you a word of encouragement, that's just as important in his scheme of things than anything else that I do, because it's what he told me to do. Does that make sense? Well, I feel like I've muddied the water up. Maybe next week we can help clear it up a little bit. But God loves you. And he wants desperately to have that relationship with you. That's why he did it. And so he doesn't want you under guilt and condemnation all the time. He doesn't want you under that dominion of sin. Huh? You know, I can sit here and tell you not to sin, and you might not sin for a couple days. But you know what? If I found out, if you fall in love with God, those things in there start changing. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand. I hate to chop it off like that, but did it tell you anything that'll help you? Holy Spirit, I just ask that you touch everybody here and help us all to hear what you have for us to hear. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you for everyone here. And God, we want to serve you because we love you. Father, we give because we love you. We do for you because we love you. We serve you because you served us. Help us realize the beauty of your grace. Help us realize, Lord, the majesty of you. Help us get a little glimpse of the love that you have for us. I want everybody in here to say something with me, because there's somebody in here and you don't know that you're right with the Lord. And I'm already went over a little bit here. So I want all of us together here to say a prayer. And if you're saved, you just say it anyway. And if you don't know for sure, you say it out loud. And if you'll mean it in your heart, something will happen inside of you. But I want us all to give our heart to the Lord today. And if you never have done that, do it right now. Everybody in here, say something with me out loud. Father. Everybody in here, say something with me out loud. Father. Everybody in here, say something with me out loud. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I receive that price. I make you the Lord of my life. I want to live for you. I need your help. I give you my life. I ask you to do something with it. And I receive this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, after I dismiss you here, come on down here and let some of us pray for you. I want to give you some information, help you get on your way with the Lord. So if you prayed that prayer, maybe you didn't and you want to, but don't leave here today without making Jesus your Lord. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you for being here today. I speak His blessings on you. I speak His blessings into your life. I believe Him to touch you and draw you closer to Him than you've ever been before. And Jesus, we thank you. Everybody say, before you go, say, Jesus is wonderful. Everybody say, Jesus is wonderful. Everybody say it again, Jesus is wonderful. Now what I want you to do today is find five people outside the church and tell them, boy, Jesus is wonderful. That's all you have to say, okay? Hey, I love you. Thank you for being here. Sorry I had to chop that off at the end, but we'll see you next time. You have a great day and a great week. If you still would like us to pray for your babies, just bring them down. I'll pray for them.